Bill Simmons and The Ringer created a list about trade value and ranked the top 64 players according to trade value and put them into different tiers and where they think they belong. Where did Cade Cunningham end up, and do we agree with that? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or if you listen to this on the podcast platforms, you could also still go to the YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button just to support it. Or you can go down in whatever podcast platform you're listening to, go down below in the rating system and leave a 5-star rating. I'd really appreciate that as well. So we're going to be talking about a few different lists that were made over the past week or so featuring Cade Cunningham and what I think about them. The first list we're going to talk about is one created by Bill Simmons and The Ringer, and it's titled the NBA Trade Value List, Summer 2022 Edition. I'm pretty sure this was brought into because of the the Kevin Durant trade request. And got people thinking, who's untouchable? Who would you move for this? Blah, blah, all this stuff. So I'm pretty sure that's why this list was made. In the second segment, we'll talk about a list made by The Athletic, an author over there, Seth Partno. He ranked the top 125 players for the upcoming season. He put them in the tiers, so he avoided putting them in, like, direct order. So he just put them in tiers. I'll let you guys know this. I'm a bigger fan of one of these lists than I am another. But we'll talk about both those lists. And right before I started recording this, I was watching the Drew League, which LeBron and Kyrie were participating in, and it got me thinking, which current Piston would you guys all love to see play in the Drew League the most? We'll talk about that in the final segment, who I think would be the most fun to watch in the Drew League. But anyways, let's get to the first list. And the first list we're going to talk about is the one from The Ringer about NBA trade value list. So, again, like I said, this list was really brought into creation because of the request from Kevin Durant requesting a trade and now everyone trying to figure out, whose value is what, who do you actually move, what players in the NBA are like close to untouchable, which ones are considered this, that, and all the other. So he ranked the top 64 guys. He had dishonorable mention for like three guys who it's Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, and James Harden. I think we all understand why he just put them in that section because they're just some things you don't really want to take on. So he didn't include those guys. So the first Piston you see and the only Piston that you happen to see in this list is our very own, the franchise player, Cade Cunningham. And he had these groups, again, it was top 64, but he had the groups measured from A to L. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. That's how many groups he had. So in group L, he had quality starters. Do I think Cade Cunningham deserves to be above quality starters? Yes. In group K, he had the upside gang. I could possibly see like maybe Sadiq Bey being in this group. But to be honest, I don't think Sadiq Bey is a top 64 player in the NBA. So I'm not mad that they didn't include him in this. I think the one group that you could throw him into is the upside gang because he is pretty young still. Pretty good piece of a young core. So that's the one spot I could see you throwing him in. But I'm not mad that he's not in that group. In this group is Tyrese Haliburton, Tyrese Maxey, Herb Jones, Jaren Jackson Jr., RJ Barrett, Franz Wagner, and Josh Giddey. I get why all of those guys are in there over Sadiq. You can make an argument, but I get why all of them are in there over Sadiq. I'm not too mad about that. Next group, in group J, he has the Ginobili's, which he calls the playoff guys. Cade is not in this list either. I think he should be higher, and he is. The next one, the Westbrooks, regular season guys. I don't think Cade's going to be in this list. Actually, and I lied to you guys. I lied. The first guy you guys see from the Pistons is not Cade Cunningham. I misspoke earlier. It's Jaden Ivey, who finds himself in the regular season guys list. So this is what I'm a little bit confused about with this list, is that I don't see how Jaden Ivey could be in the regular season guys list when he hasn't played in the NBA yet. I feel like if you were going to put him in any list, it would be the upside gang. I feel like that would be like the obvious spot to put him in, a young guy who has a lot of potential. I don't know how you can put him in the regular season guys group because, again, we haven't seen him play. I'm assuming since it's how the Westbrooks, I think he just threw him in there because his play style, I guess, kind of reminds him of Westbrook, and he questions whether he'll be able to actually do anything in the playoffs, because I'm assuming he's just, you know, comparing it to Westbrook and the idea that Westbrook's just too out of control, athletic freak, but can't really do anything else. I know some people outside of Detroit and some people even in Detroit thought that a little bit about Jaden Ivey. I don't really agree with this. I would have put him in the upside gang list. As you keep going, again, you have the group H. Sorry, he's worth more to us than he is to you. This is a group that I could see Kay Cunningham being in, but honestly, I think he should be higher, and he is. Group G is too young, too cheap, too good. Please stop calling us. Another group that I could see Sadiq Bey or Kay Cunningham finding themselves in. Neither of them are in this one. But Kay Cunningham is higher, like I said, so we'll keep going. And group F is, if you tell Woj, I'll deny it to death, but I'm listening. I don't think there's a trade offer in which the Pistons are listening for Kay Cunningham, so I don't think he should be in this list either. So now we're going into the top 20. Now we're in group E, which is, let me save you some time, N-O. I think Cade could be in this list because I think it would be easy as hell for the Pistons simply say no to anything, but I think the next group, which Kay Cunningham finds himself in, is the most realistic one and describes him perfectly. So according to the trade value list that Bill Simmons made at the Ringer, this is not top players in the NBA, top valued players in the NBA. He has Kay Cunningham as the 15th most viable player in the NBA when it comes to the trade market, most viable player in the NBA, number 15. He has him in a group called True Franchise Guys, and he finds himself in this group with Trae Young, Scottie Barnes, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis, and Devin Booker. I think something you guys would really love to see is the fact that he finds himself ahead of Scottie Barnes in this list. He has Scottie Barnes number 16, but has Kay Cunningham number 15. So I think that's something that you guys would probably love to hear. But I think this is exactly where Cade deserves to be at. Cade is obviously the Pistons franchise guy. He is a franchise player, not only on the court, but off the court. He embodies literally everything you want in a franchise player at the young age of 20, 21 years old. There's no way the Pistons would consider trading him for almost just about anything. To be honest, I think it probably would be anything. I don't see them moving him for nothing. I couldn't think of an offer that would make the Pistons okay with moving Cade. And he has future superstar potential. I've already told you guys, I think he's going to be a future MVP in this league. That's how good I think Cade Cunningham's going to be. And I think this is right where he probably should be slotted at in the franchise guys, 15th most viable player in the NBA when it comes to the trade market. When you factor in, obviously, age, future, upside, where they're at already, what they do on and off the court for you, the leadership, all that stuff. When you take all that stuff into consideration and when you make a trade value list, I think Cade probably is right where he deserves to be at 15. I think if anything, you might be able to make an argument for him to move higher. So, like, for example, you could make the argument for Paul George because Paul George is getting older and he's dealing with injury issues. I could see that. Anthony Davis, I could see that with Anthony Davis because he's just nonstop injured. So I could see you try to make an argument that since Cade's younger, has a brighter future, and is not injury prone, you'll take Cade over Anthony Davis. I could see that. I know they have Evan Mobley up in the group and number 9 in the untouchables. I could see Cade finding himself in that group right now already. I think he'll probably put him in that group if they were to do like a second version of this list next offseason. I could see him putting Cade in that group as well in the untouchables, top 10 players. But yeah, again, I think this list did Cade incredibly well, gave him a lot of respect and put him right where he probably belongs as of right now at number 15. Again, I think you can make an argument for him to be up a little bit more higher spots because of injuries, age to some of the players ahead of him. But yeah, I think this list does give Cade a lot of respect, and I think he's right where he probably should be. So let me know what you guys think. If you guys haven't seen that article, go look it up on Google, The Ringer. I'll link it in the bio below on YouTube. Again, it's over at The Ringer. This was created by Bill Simmons, and the title of it is the NBA Trade Value List Summer 2022 Edition. Go check it out if you haven't already, and let me know what your guys' thoughts are down below on it. When we come back, we're going to talk about a list now from The Athletic by an author, Seth Partno, who ranks the top 125 players for the 22-2023 season. And I'm going to let you guys know this right now. This is the list I'm not as big a fan of at all, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the ad break. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Built Bar. From the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built have given Coconut Brownie Chunk the Puffs treatment. That's right, the Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a delicious, chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They're good for you too. They're low in calories, low in sugar, high in protein, and absolutely delicious. Coconut brownie chunk puffs are only here for a limited time. Go to built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going out fast because they taste absolutely amazing. And I tell you guys this all the time. Head to built.com regularly because it feels like they're always coming out with new limited time flavors. And I can't promise you guys how long those limited time flavors will be there. So again, head to the built.com and you'll get to see the coconut brownie chunk puffs that are here for only a limited time. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they actually are good for you. They are the perfect treat. Perfect when you've got a craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack, they're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich, sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Or if you listen to this on one of the podcast platforms, go down below, leave a 5-star rating. Another great way to support the podcast. I would really appreciate it. All right, let's go ahead and talk about this top 125 players list of the 2022-2023 season, which was made again by The Athletic's Seth Partno. Now, you guys will remember just a few podcasts ago, we were talking, actually, I think it was last podcast on the mailbag. We were just talking about, you know, about whether Cade needs to be an all-star next year. And I told you guys that, no, Cade doesn't need to be an all-star this year. I think he'll probably be entering all-stardom in his third season, then be an all-star every year after that. But my overall point I was making is that Cade still has a long way to go. Cade is terrific. I think he's going to be a future MVP, but he's still young. He has a lot of areas that he still has to get better in. And that's not a bad thing at all. He has to get better in. I know he knows that there's places he has to get better in, and he wants to get better at them, and he's improving on it in the offseason. We've heard all about the turnovers, the outside shots, getting stronger, which he already looks noticeably stronger. All these things. He has to get better, and he's going to get better. But right now, he's not perfect. Right now, he's not a superstar yet. Right now, he's not top 10, top 15, top 20 player in the NBA. He's not that right now. He's not that yet. He will be, but he's not there yet, and that's not a problem. That's okay. That's completely okay. However, this top 125 players list absolutely spits in the face of Cade Cunningham. This is me. I am trying to be as unbiased as absolutely possible. You guys just sat here and listened to me say that I don't think Cade's perfect. I still think Cade has a long ways to go. He has to improve in a lot of areas. That's me trying to be as unbiased as possible. And still, this list absolutely screwed him over. Utterly screwed him over. It doesn't even make sense where he's at. I saw this list. One of you guys tweeted it at me. I looked at the list, and I wanted to spit on it. I was like, dude, what? Oh, like. Anyways, let's go ahead and get to where he's ranked on the list. I don't care where any of the other Pistons are ranked. We're not even gonna talk about them because I'm not focused on it. The only player I'm focused on right here is Cade Cunningham. Okay, so Cade Cunningham, they got them ranked in the 41 to 84 section for Cade Cunningham, and in the tinier group, he has it called the Changing of the Guards. So in this tier, he calls it the 4B tier. So he's in the bottom half of that 41 to 82 tier. So top 100, that's good. Top 80, that's respectable. That's fine. You're like, if I told you basically Cade Cunningham was going to be ranked as a top 80 player after his rookie season, I think a lot of people would be like, okay, that's fine. That's cool. But this is where the problems I have with this list come about, okay? So again, they have like a 4A, 4B section of this. And again, it's like the top half of 41 to 84 and the back half of the 41 to 84. I'm going to name you some of the guys that are in the top half of the 41 to 84, which is in the 4A tier, okay? Al Horford, Desmond Bane, Dorian Finney-Smith, Jalen Brunson, Robert Williams, Tyrese Maxey, and Scottie Barnes. Now, those players being within 41-84, that's fine. Do I think Cade's better than Dorian Finney-Smith? Yes. Do I think Cade's probably better than Al Horford at this stage in his career? Maybe. Maybe. I know Al Horford, you know, had his few playoff games where he went off for like 70 points and 55 threes in a game. But throughout the playoffs, he wasn't that consistent either. So I know he had a few big games. He's incredibly valuable still. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Cade's 100% better than my guess, because I know how valuable he is to Boston's team on offense and defense. But I think I'm probably taking Cade already. Oh, I forgot to mention Evan Mobley's in this group as well. I'm taking him over. I'm probably a bigger fan of his than Jalen Brunson at this point. I don't think that's too big of a deal. Tyrese Maxey, I'm taking Cade over Tyrese Maxey. I'm taking Cade right now over Robert Williams too. I think Cade is better than these players and a bigger future. And if you're projecting into the next season, he's going to be better than those guys. And then what really makes this group really get on my nerves and frustrate me is the fact that Evan Mobley and Scottie Barnes are on this list. And I'm not going to say too much, because last time we talked about Scottie Barnes, we had the entire nation of Toronto coming in our DMs and the comment section trying to get toxic as possible. So we're going to keep it brief. Wherever you ranked these top three rookies, I think it's quite clear that Cade's the best out of all of them. That's my opinion. I think it's very clear that if Cade was given the team that these guys were given, it would have been the same thing. You put any of these guys on the Pistons, they struggle even worse than Cade did the first few months of the season or first month of the season. These guys aren't capable of doing what Cade was able to do on a bad team. It's not his fault. He got drafted to a garbage team, and then he got drafted to, you know, Scottie Barnes goes to a team that just won the championship three, four years ago, and Evan Mobley goes to a team that had multiple all-stars on their team. You know, if Cade had that, maybe we're looking at this differently, because, you know, teams, people just like to look at, you know, oh, win-loss, whatever. Don't get me started with that. No matter wherever you rank these top three guys, at the very least, they should be back-to-back-to-back to each other. There's no way one's separate from another group. There's no way one has proven, unless, for me, it's Cade Cunningham. But there's no way those three guys should be like two of them are split up into a different group and one of them's not good enough to be in a group with them. Now, they're all, wherever you put one of them, all three of them should be right there. And the fact that you have Scottie Barnes and Evan Mobley in the top half of this tier, and then the back half of the tier, then you drop Cade Cunningham in the group, which with the names of, let me tell you, DeAndre Hunter, Derek White, Brooke Lopez, Herb Jones, which I know Herb Jones is a great defensive rookie, but we have to take it easy with how much we're rating defense. please calm down. Herb Jones, Dylan Brooks, Gary Trent Jr., Jonas Valanciunas, which I won't disrespect Jonas, but come on. Josh Giddey, Kristaps, Malcolm Brogdon. These guys don't even play five games in the season. Michael Porter Jr., I forgot he was alive. Miles Turner. Seth Curry, a role player. Tobias Harris. Tyler Hero. Come on. Come on. We have to be better than this. We have to be better than this. Cade Cunningham is a franchise player. He is not a role player. He's not a number three or number four. He is a franchise player. I'm not going to sit here and say he's in his prime already. I've already said that he has to get better. But he's better than role players already. He's already better than role players. Dorian Finney-Smith being a higher tier than Cade Cunningham has me ready to pass out this seat. Dorian Finney-Smith? What, because he hits a few threes because he's playing off of Luka Doncic? He doesn't have to put more than two dribbles a game. Come on. Come on, be better. We got to be better than this, man. We got to be better than this, dog. DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter and Derek White, the man that the teams in the playoffs were literally not even guarding the entire playoffs. Derek White, Dylan Brooks, the sellout himself. I when Dylan Brooks steps onto the court, I assume he's already putting the opposite team's uniform on off the jump. Gary Trent Jr., Jeremy Grant, Josh Giddey, Kristaps, and Malcolm Brogdon, who's probably played a combined, between the two, 15 games the last 3,000 years. What's going on, bro? This is a list I don't understand. Not only because of the tier that he's in, the group, the players that's surrounding him, but the fact that you have the two other rookies in a higher tier of him. No, they should be back to back to back. I think Kane should be at the top. But again, at the very least, they should be back to back to back. There's no way one's in a different big tier than the other. Like you saw Evan Mobley start to fade when Allen got hurt. Oh, God, look at that. You took one all-star away. He started to fade a little bit. Evan Mobley's going to be great, but come on. Like, look what Cade was working with, and he was able to get better the entire season. Evan Mobley loses Jared Allen. All of a sudden, things start looking a little normal. Like, go on. I'm getting tired of the disrespect with Cade. I'm already seeing it. I'm starting to see that because he plays in Detroit, teams or people outside Detroit are going to start spitting on him. People are going to start disrespecting him in these lists. And we got just chill. We've got to chill. I'm not happy about this list. I wasn't going to talk about this list, but some of you guys tweeted it at me. I was like, please talk about it. And that's what my problem is. Overall, him being in the tier from 41 to 84, I don't have a problem with it. I think he's probably closer to top 50 than he is to 80. I think he's closer to 50 than he is 80. But according to this list and these tiers, it looks like that he's closer to 80 than he is 50. And he's also in the list with role players like the ones I named, DeAndre Hunter, Derek White, Dylan Brooks. Like, don't even get me go through these names again. It's disrespectful. It's utterly disrespectful. Cade's the only person in this tier right here that's a franchise player. Only person. The only person. And then you have role players that are above him. I'm sorry. Role players who play off of stars cannot be better than franchise players, because if they were put in the role of the franchise players, they wouldn't be able to replicate it. Okay? That's just how it works. That's just my opinion. It's not going to change. I'm not ranking a role player who's feeding off of Luka Doncic or Ja Morant higher than Kay Cunningham because they don't have to have any responsibilities outside of shoot. Like, miss me. Miss me with it. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cooper Hill. I wasn't planning on ranting that much about it, but the more I looked at the list, the more angry I got about it. When we come back, though, right before I started recording this, I was watching the Drew League, and we got some news late that LeBron and Kyrie Irving would be participating in it. So we were all watching it. Everyone, you know, interested in NBA was watching it. It was a lot of fun. Drew League's fun when you see the professional players in it. And it got me thinking, which one of the current NBA or current Piston players would you most want to see in the Drew League? Who do you think would be the most entertaining to watch? Let me know what you guys' answer would be in the comment section down below. I'm about to tell you guys my answer when we come back from these ads. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast on our road to 5,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Lockdown, we're the best and fastest growing fan base at the Lockdown Network. So again, like I've already told you guys, the Drew League was going on. LeBron and Kyrie played. I was watching. It was a lot of fun. But I want to figure out which NBA player or Piston. Why do I keep saying NBA player? Which Detroit Piston player that's currently on the squad do I think would be some of the most fun to watch in a Drew League setting? Now, I'm going to tell you who I would not be interested in watching. We're going to go through that list right now. We're going to go ahead and say Braxton Key, Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, Saban, Kelly Olynyk. I love Isaiah Livers, but not for the Drew League. Corey Joseph, Isaiah Stewart. I'm not counting Kemba because he's getting bought out. And so those guys right there are the ones I would just absolutely not be interested in all, like really watching them in the G League. Or not G League, the Drew League. Now, if you don't know what the Drew League is, I don't really know how to explain it. It's like a semi-professional, like street ball kind of league tournament kind of thing. If you're interested in NBA and you watch NBA basketball, you don't know what the Drew League is, I don't know how to explain it or what to say to you. I feel like everyone should know what the Drew League is. If you're interested in basketball and you're a basketball fan. But anyways, so that leaves Jaden Ivey, Kay Cunningham. Oh, also, I'm not going to be interested in seeing Jalen Duren either. I think the only guys I want to see playing in this, if it's me, I want to see guards and wings. I'm not interested in seeing big men catch lobs and dunk on people 5 feet shorter than them. Like, that doesn't impress me. That's not fun to watch. So who I'd be most interested in, and this is the group I'm picking from, that's Jaden Ivey, Cade, Killian, Sadiq, possibly Marvin. I'm not counting Marvin as just a big guy because I feel like Marvin might be interesting to watch to be honest, low key, on the very lowest of keys, I think Marvin Bagley actually could be interesting to watch in the Drew League, and Hamidou Diallo. Those are the guys that's in my group. So if I had to try rank them, and guys, I think it would be most fun to watch. And again, let me know who you guys would pick in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahil. But so at the bottom of that group, it would be Marvin Bagley. But Marvin Bagley should feel happy because he's the only big man I'm putting in this group because I feel like he's the most like raw skilled. I feel like if you put him in a street ball scenario, he'd benefit the most out of all the big guys. He actually has skill to be able to like do more than just dunk on people shorter than him in a street ball sense kind of thing, which is kind of like what Drew League is. There's referees and stuff, so it isn't just flat out street ball, but it's more of a pickup kind of sense. I think Marvin Bagley would be more fun to watch in that sense than most big men. So Marvin Bagley at the bottom of that list. Next, I'd put Sadiq, because Sadiq, I don't feel like has that kind of, like let me just make this clear too, before I keep going actually. All these guys would dominate. They would obliterate all their opponents. It's not about that. It's about simply most fun and interesting, I think, to watch. So Sadiq would then be after Marvin Bagley, because Sadiq's not explosive. He's not this big athlete. I don't think he has that many great moves or crazy handle or anything. I think he dominates still. Obviously, he's an NBA player. He's a good one. He's going to dominate. But I just don't think he'd be as fun of a watch in the Drew League. So I got Marvin, then Sadiq. Next, I got Killian. I think Killian low-key could be higher on this list. I know some people are going to laugh at me for saying that, but I'm telling you, dude, if you watched Killian's overseas highlights, and if you watched him throughout the season, he is a cocky kind of player when he's outside the NBA. I don't know what happened. I don't know what flicks to where he's just not cocky anymore when he gets on the NBA floor. It only happens every few games. But he was a cocky as hell player. They like to yank guys around with this handle and do a bunch of crazy creative stuff and just try random stuff in games. Like, that's what Killian was. So if he's that type of player in the Drew League, he could be higher on this list. It would be I think he would be incredibly fun to watch in a pickup sense. But with the fact that he doesn't do it a lot in the NBA makes me hesitate a little bit. Would he still be as cocky in that? I'd hope so. But because I have a little bit of a question about that, I'm going to lower him down, even though I still think he'd dominate, obviously, like everybody else. And I think he'd be actually pretty fun to watch. Now, that leaves Jaden Ivey, Cade, and Hamidou Diallo. Next, I got Jaden Ivey. I got him at third. I think Jaden Ivey obviously would be incredibly fun to watch because he's explosive. He'd be extremely fun in transition. I feel like he'd just be faster than everybody, and he would just beat guys up and down the floor. Impossible to stop him. He'd just be throwing down 5,000 dunks a game. However, a dude that I think could do that more in a Drew League game and be more fun doing it is Hamidou Diallo. I think Hamidou Diallo is number two for me. Actually, you know what? I'm lying. You know what? We're going to go ahead and go with a hot take right here. I got Cade number two because I think Cade would dominate guys mentally. I think Cade would create all kinds of handle and separation and hit all kinds of crazy shots. I think he'd be incredibly fun to watch. Obviously, he's Cade Cunningham. He'd just dominate them. I think he'd be a lot of fun to watch. But number one, I have Hamidou Diallo. I think Hamidou Diallo would be the most fun dude to watch in a Drew League game because he's just so like that. You know how we talk about in the podcast all the time? We call him a ball of energy, a ball of fire that's just waiting to erupt. That's like the perfect environment for that to like just explode to where he can constantly be just bouncing off every wall possible, going 110% nonstop. Just being ultimately physical with dudes, leaping over dudes, jumping over people, throwing alley-oops to himself off the top of the backboard, 360-ing it. Like, I feel like Hamidou Diallo would go out there and have, like, probably one of the best mixtapes that we'd ever see, dude. I feel like he'd just do some absolutely crazy stuff because of how explosive and how crazy and just out of control he is. I feel like he would just be so much fun to watch. So Hamidou Diallo is my answer. I know a lot of you guys probably didn't see that coming. But I think that's where I'm standing with it. I think he would be the most fun guy in a Drew League game. I think he would be the most fun to watch easily. It's either him or Cade. And simply, I'm only saying Cade is the other option because he's Cade Cunningham. He's a franchise player. It's always going to be fun to watch him, even if he's playing wherever he's playing. We're going to want to watch Cade. But Hamidou Diallo, man, I think he would be so much fun in a Drew League game, man. I'm not going to lie. I think he'd do some crazy stuff. In a Drew League game. But let me know what your guys' answer would be in the comment section down below or over on Twitter. Who would you guys want to see in a Drew League game? Who do you think would be the most fun out of all the players on the Pistons roster? Again, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cookie Hill. Until the next podcast, though, I'll see you guys later. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. Or if you're listening on the podcast platforms, go down below the rating system, leave a 5-star review. I'd really appreciate that as well. But like I said, I'll see you guys in the next podcast. And until then, peace out, everybody, and stay safe.